If you're at Romans chapter 8, we notice the Apostle Paul addresses brethren in Rome. While we cannot know what the disposition of all of those saints were as they read this very uplifting chapter, but we can be sure that during all of their trials of life, it is evident that they were already undergoing persecution. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But beginning with verse 37, nearly at the end of the chapter, Paul says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I think those believed brethren, as they read these very words that the inspired apostle had sent to them, that there must have been a wonderful feeling of comfort, of relief, of reliance on God. The words that re-echoed in my mind as I read this is Paul gives the assurance in verse 37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors." How's that make you feel whenever you say to one another, "You know what we are? We are more than conquerors." I think all of us know the meaning of this word in the English language, to be a conqueror. We say, well, that means to be victorious. Well, who wouldn't want to be victorious in whatever endeavor that they are considering? I did just a little bit of study. I freely confess that I certainly am far from being a Greek scholar, but the word for conqueror that is found in the original is the word nikao. And W. E. Vine says that simply means to overcome. Bullinger, in his concordance, says that it means to gain the victory, or in more common language, to get the upper hand. But what I want to relate to you is that that word nikao is not the one that is found here, because Paul says you are more than conquerors. So there is a word in the Greek language that is going to express this idea of being a super conqueror, and it is that Greek word, huper nikao. And again, W. E. Vine says that simply means to gain a surpassing victory. So who are Christians? What are these saints in Rome? What is the wonderful prospect that is set forth for all of the faithful in Christ Jesus? Who are you? Well, you're a conqueror. You're one that can overcome. Indeed, you are one that has already overcome. But you are a super conqueror. You are a superhero, as it was. And so then, as we think about that, I think you do just like I do whenever we think along a certain line and we say, well, how is that possible? How can it be? We know Paul is telling us the truth, that those who love Christ are more than conquerors. How is it possible? Well, the way in which we are more than conquerors really has very little with our own power and ability. And I have to emphasize that by saying, you know, if it was just left up to us individually, as we stand alone in the world, as the busy world around us is hustling and bustling by, and we are confronted with all of the problems and the activities of life, we would not be that if we were on our own. So what is involved in this entire context that the great apostle is discussing? Why is it that you and I are the super conquerors, that we are more than conquerors? And the answer simply says, it really is not because of you. It is not because of some kind of surpassing intellect or some great strength or power that you have. We're more than conquerors because God and His Son, Jesus Christ, are on our side. And I think you know that. But let's look at some verses here in Romans chapter 8. In verse 28, look what is said. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Here we are, the wonderful children of God. Not a thing can our enemies say against that. But nevertheless, they're going to attack us on every hand, and the Christian simply has to say this: whatever is happening to me today, whatever kind of adversities that I might undergo, everything is going to turn out all right. Isn't that good that you can say that? Now, that's not a false philosophy. That is something that we have to bear in mind. All things are going to work together for good to all those who love God. Well, we are not through yet, so we want to look at verse 31. Paul says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, we know the answer. If God is for us, why, there is no enemy, no matter how strong that enemy may be. There is no enemy that is as strong as God is. And then, verse 37, finally, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're more than conquerors because we're not alone. I think every day that this is one of the most wonderful helps that can come to you whenever here are all of the foes and the enemies around you, whenever you can say to yourself in a convincing way, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. If I were alone, why, this sheer humanity, it could not cope with all of the adversities, but God is on our side. We tried to speak this morning concerning the power and the wisdom of God. We simply rehearse it in our mind by saying, the power and the wisdom of God is unlimited. There are no problems with God. There is no enemy that is strong enough to overwhelm God. If we are on God's side, who can be against us? And therefore, everything that is within reason, everything that is going to fit the scriptures that we are thinking about tonight, simply says, well, Why wouldn't I want to be on God's side? Why wouldn't I want to love Him? Why wouldn't I want to love His Son, Jesus Christ? And whenever I have that assurance, I can be more than a conqueror because God is on my side. All right, so we can say that's step one in our lesson. And then immediately, while we have kind of skirted all around it here in our introductory thoughts, what things do we have to overcome? Here the idea of we are more than conquerors, what is it that we have to conquer? What is it that we have to gain the victory in? And I think one of the very first things that is going to come to our mind, maybe as we cast back in our mind before the time that we were more than conquerors, and we say, what is it that got me down? What are the things that cause me day after day when I would wake up to just feel so defeated? And we say, right up there at the top of the list are those anxieties and cares. Anxiety and care. What are you worried about? I'm worried about everything. It does not matter what it is. What's going to happen to me today? What about my job? What about my family? What about my personal relationships? And, oh, the list just goes on and on and on. And all of us know people who are not more than conquerors, and that is the thing that just overcomes them instead of the individual being able to overcome all of those anxieties and fears. Well, all right, now let's get right down to it. Somebody is going to say, but now, Gene, how are Christians any better off? What is it that is going to enable us to be more than a conqueror concerning all of these daily cares? And you know what? The Bible tells us how we can be more than conquerors. Let's look over at Philippians 4. I know you'll recognize this immediately, but in verse 6 of chapter 4, Paul starts right off giving a no-no. He says, be anxious for nothing. That is a no-no, isn't it? Here is a direct path for these more than conquerors to follow. Don't worry about anything. Well, all right, let's go ahead. But in everything, all right, now this is the pathway to victory for you and for me. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, if we do that tomorrow, with all of the cares that you are going to be facing tomorrow, at work, at school, at home, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, here are all of the cares of the world that are pressing in on you, and you say, I want to do the best job that I can, but I don't want the world to overcome me. I want to overcome the world. What do you have to do? Don't be anxious. Don't try to figure out what is going to happen to you the next day and the next day and all of that. Don't get all worked up. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, that means everything that Satan throws your way, in everything by prayer, supplication, don't forget thanksgiving. We do that sometimes. We say, God, save me from this problem, and he does. And we just say, wow, I got over that okay, didn't I? No, you didn't get over that okay. God, in everything with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're not to be naughty children. We're not to be selfish children. That little child that goes around always pulling on mama's skirt and saying, give me, give me, give me, give me. All right. Now, God's children are not that way. These who are more than conquerors, they have learned every time they're confronted with these terrible problems as we view them, in everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Do you know who's listening to us? God is. He listens to every one of those prayers. Do you know what else he's going to do? He's going to take care of them. Now, it may not be in your way. It may not be in the way that man thinks at all. He's going to take care of it. All things are going to work together. That's why you're more than conquerors. Well, what else? What else? I think just one other thing that comes to my mind, and that is you have to learn to put everything in its proper place. Now, if you're always going to be worried about a shiny floor, or a shiny automobile for that matter, or money in the bank, you're not going to be more than conquerors. It just won't work that way. How does it work? Well, Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, do you want to be more than conquerors? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these earthly things, they'll be added to you. You'll always have food. You will always have sufficient. God is going to take care of you. But you've got to learn what is really important. Now, I'm not telling you young folks, don't do your lessons. Don't prepare for exams. I'm not telling you, don't work. Supply for your family. What I'm saying is, school lessons important? Sure. Getting a degree important? Sure, if that's what you want. Your job important? Sure. They're not nearly as important as the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You get that all worked out in your mind. You figure out what is really, really to your benefit. And do you know when you've done that? You're more than conquerors. You're going to be able to take care of every anxiety and every care that comes your way. The Romans, we've already said this. They were beset by real enemies. Persecution. That's the way the Bible talks about this. How could they fight against the Roman government? Against Caesar? Against that terrible, terrible, cruel man, Nero? How could they be more than conquerors with a fella like that? And so the scripture, I'm right here in Romans 8, I haven't left it. In verse 35, Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril or sword. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, dear friends, whenever we began to talk about the persecution that existed back there in the first century, we have a hard time imagining to ourselves what that must have been like. I don't think we ought to pray for persecution like that today. I would not want to have a government in power in Washington such as was in power there in Rome. But, boy, you talk about trouble. Rome was trouble city. But do you know, even when they were being put to death, even whenever they were facing anguish and fire, those Christians were saying, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Do your kin folks don't like you? Do they talk ugly about you? Do folks say, what in the world's wrong with you? You must be some crazy guy. Don't worry about that. Don't even try to conform to where they will like you better. We want God to like us better. That's what we're out to do. We can be more than conquerors whenever the devil hurls all of his fiery darts against us. How's he do that? Temptation to sin. Temptation to sin. The devil is your enemy. He doesn't want you to be more than conquerors. He wants you to cower. He wants you to tremble. He wants you to be defeated. And he wants you to be just like him. That's what he wants. James says this, James 4 and about verse 7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Did you know that? Somebody said, well, you know, here was this pretty girl and she invited me to have relations with her and the temptation was just so strong I couldn't fight against it. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. You just remember Joseph back there in the book of Genesis. You can overcome. You can be more than conquerors. Well, here's this nice-looking young man, and you want to continue to be his girlfriend. You like him a lot. He says, everybody's doing it, honey. Come on. And you, how many times have I told you girls this? Reach out and slap his face. That's what he deserves. Maybe you can shake him up to where he will begin to think the way that he ought to. Resist the devil. He'll run away from you. Resist him. And do you know who Christians are who take all of these moral standards of the Bible? Who's going to go to hell? Drunkards, homosexuals, thieves, murderers, all of those things that you read in your Bible daily, and you don't want to be like them, because then you're a coward. You're a coward. You will regret it all the days of your life if you give in to sin. We can be more than conquerors. The last enemy to be overcome is death. And we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. I want us to look at two verses. One's in Hebrews chapter 2, where we are told of our wonderful Lord, how that he himself took on the shape, the figure of a man. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Herman Smiley died this past week. If you knew anything about Herman, you knew that he was a great servant of God. I don't think that I'm exaggerating when I say Herman was more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Death. Death. What a terrible foe. I don't think I'm exaggerating whenever I say that without the help of God, unless we can get these things straight in our mind, our greatest fear is going to continue to be my death. My death. I'm going to die. I know that. I know that. Is it all that terrible? Well, the Bible tells us all about death, and it explains it to us. And we've already read a part of it. Christ has overcome. But look at the closing verses of 1 Corinthians 15 with me now for further instruction. Verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have any idea why there were so many folks at Herman's funeral that were really glad for him? Really glad for him. No, we're not mixed up about that. Somebody says, aren't you sad that Herman is no longer here? Well, I know that his dear wife is sad. I know that all of the brethren at West End that trusted and confided in him for wisdom and advice, Herman was always there. Unless there was something that providentially hindered him, they're going to miss him. Those of us that knew him just on the sidelines, we miss his bright smile, how well he was named. But you know what? I'm glad for Herman. I'm glad for him. All of that heart trouble, all of the problems of life that he struggled with, they're all past. They're all past. We sing the song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And truly he is. The picture that is impressed on our mind from Luke, the 19th chapter, is that the angels came and carried Lazarus away. To be more than conquerors, that's what has to happen to you. Now, I don't like what happened to the rich man, Luke 16. Did I say 19? Luke 16, I think. Okay. I don't even know that that's the first mistake I've made today, but anyway. All right. More than conquerors. But the final crowning victory. Christians are destined for heaven. If at the end of this life, and when our Lord Jesus returns again, and we stand before Him redeemed, then it is indeed that we can say we're more than conquerors. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us the mindset of Abraham and his family. And there are two sections here in Hebrews 11 in verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Verse 10, "For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Well, this is another city that you don't find here on earth. And so verse 13 says of Abraham and these others, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Abraham and his family could have gone back to the Ur of the Chaldees." Verse 16, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He's prepared a city for them." Who are you all the time that you're here on earth? You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. You're a sojourner. And for every child of God who has their hope firmly fixed on that city whose builder and maker is God, do you know what you are? You're more than conquerors. You're more than conquerors. Not much interested in a mansion here on earth, but I know where I do want a mansion so I can be more than conquerors. How about you? How are you feeling about being more than conquerors? The Bible tells you how. You simply step out from where you're seated tonight. You come forward and you say, "I want everybody to know that I want to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that I believe He's the Son of God, and I'm turning away and against all of the things that are wrong the Bible condemns. And I want to do everything that right. And I want to start right off by being baptized for the remission of my sins." Have you lost your way as a Christian? Be more than conquerors. Let's stand and sing, Andrew.